Today, our journey through God's Word has us stopping in Nehemiah 7 and 8. These chapters in Nehemiah remind us that the same energy and dedication that we give to achieving ambitions in this world need to be applied to our spiritual lives. Reading, learning, and applying Scripture, as well as worshiping and obeying God, should be unwavering goals in our lives, and we must pursue them vigorously. Stephen called this lesson Restoration and Spiritual Rededication.
One of my favorite seminary professors used to tell us in class that we had plenty of celebrities in the church, but not enough saints. If we try to find people of integrity, we usually discover they're not in the spotlight. No journalist interviews them. No talk show introduces them. There is no annual awards ceremony for people of integrity. It's a great quote, isn't it? If that is true, and indeed it is, Nehemiah would never be highlighted, even though he would be well-deserving of honor. In fact, he continues here in his journal, what we call the Book of Nehemiah, recording his efforts to keep Jerusalem not only safe, but spiritually strong. He realizes that finished walls around Jerusalem, they're not the only issue. The people of Judah need physical protection, but they also need spiritual revival. And Nehemiah is going to tackle now both issues here in chapters 7 and 8. Now, the first issue Nehemiah deals with is the physical restoration of the Jewish people in chapter 7. We're told here in verse 1 that Nehemiah appoints the gatekeepers, the singers, and the Levites. Now, the gatekeepers normally guarded the temple, but here they're assigned to guard at the city gates. See, the gates of Jerusalem are only as good as the character of the gatekeepers. I've read that on several occasions. The Great Wall of China was breached by invading armies, not by scaling the walls, but by bribing the gatekeepers to let them in. So Nehemiah personally appoints these gatekeepers, and evidently the singers and Levites who serve at the temple are also going to help guard the gates here. Now, Nehemiah gives administrative responsibility for Jerusalem to two men, his brother Hanani, and another man named Hananiah. Now, Hananiah is described here in verse 2 as a man who was faithful and God-fearing. Now, catch this. Nehemiah isn't looking for a celebrity. He needs a man of integrity. And that's an important lesson, by the way, for the church to this day. We appoint men to leadership, not because of their bank account or some impressive resume, but because of their godly character. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus 1 spell it out. Well, back here in verse 3, Nehemiah instructs these two men, "Let not the gates of Jerusalem be opened until the sun is hot." In other words, to guard against the threat of attack, these gates are to be closed until late morning hours when the sun is high and hot. Now, verse 4 reveals one of the major challenges facing the people of Jerusalem. It says, "While the city was wide and large, the people within it were few, and no houses had been rebuilt yet." So Nehemiah writes in verse 5, "God put it into my heart to assemble the nobles and the officials and the people to be enrolled by genealogy. I found the book of the genealogy of those who came up at the first." What this means is Nehemiah is figuring out how to repopulate the city, and the Lord gives him the idea to register the people according to their genealogy, their family tree. See, this is going to set the stage for a draft later on in chapter 11, where the people from Judah will be selected to come and live inside the city walls of Jerusalem. This book that Nehemiah finds is described here in verse 5. as the book of the genealogy of those who came up at the first. This is the record of the first wave of people who returned from Persia under Zerubbabel. And it established that they were of pure Jewish ancestry and thereby able to resettle inside this capital city. That was a requirement. Now, from verse 6 all the way to the end of chapter 7, Nehemiah gives us the names of that genealogy. In fact, with the exception of verses 70 through 72, it repeats almost word for word what's written back in the second chapter of the book of Ezra. We covered that content back then. So Nehemiah is now ready to begin the process of repopulating the city of Jerusalem. But that's got to be put on hold so that he can address another critical issue. See, physical restoration is important, but so is the spiritual restoration of the people. So here in chapter 8, the emphasis now shifts from rebuilding to revival. And Nehemiah steps aside as Ezra, the priest, steps forward. You might remember that Ezra, the Bible scholar and priest, he had arrived in Jerusalem some 13 years before Nehemiah. So he's still around. He's been teaching the people while Nehemiah headed up the building project. But now for the first time in the book of Nehemiah, Ezra steps up to the microphone. Verse 1 tells us that the people of Judah assemble in great numbers in the square before the water gate. A week earlier, the walls had been finished, and now the Feast of Trumpets is going to be observed, and this marks the new year on Israel's calendar. Well, as the people gather, they ask Ezra to read the book of the law of Moses to them. That's the Pentateuch. That's the first five books of the Old Testament. In fact, they built a little wooden platform for Ezra to stand on. And get this, he reads the scriptures before the people, we're told here, from early morning until midday, according to verse 3. That's 6 hours. And we're told here that the people are attentive to the book of the law. Verse 5 says they stood the entire time. I don't know how many people would listen to a 6-hour sermon standing up. And I'm pretty sure I wouldn't want to preach a sermon for 6 hours. So this is a remarkable moment here of revival. It reminds me of those all-night prayer meetings you might have been in. I can read about them as well in church history, which had an amazing impact on God's people and God's work. We're told that Ezra is assisted by a number of Levites. Verse 8 says here, who read from the book and gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. So here's the pattern. The Levites follow the reading of Scripture with an exposition of that passage, and they're explaining what it means. Good definition of preaching, by the way. The clear reading and preaching and teaching of Scripture makes a great impact on these people, and they're more than ready to follow after God. Well, we're told here in verse 12 that all the people went their way to eat and drink and to send portions and to make great rejoicing because they had understood the words that were declared to them. In other words, the preaching service ends and they got dinner on the grounds out here and they're all celebrating and eating together and exchanging gifts with each other. They're celebrating the goodness of God. Well, the next day, the people come back again. And this proves that, you know, it's not some quick emotional response. Earlier, verse 13 tells us, the heads of fathers' houses of all the people with the priests and the Levites, they all came together to Ezra the scribe in order to study the words of the law. Now, what they find in their study is that they need to observe the Feast of Tabernacles or booths. This means they're going to live inside little booths made of branches, little lean-tos for 7 days. And this festival reminded them of God's faithfulness to their forefathers who traveled through the wilderness as they left Egypt. So they observe the feast, and on each of these 7 days, they listen to the reading, the preaching of the Word of God. Maybe what you need today, my friend, is a revival, this kind of rededication to God's Word. Well, let me encourage you to just follow this example. The Jewish people experienced a revival as they listened to the Word of God. They're convicted by the preaching and teaching, the truth of the Word of God. Then they decide they're going to obey the Word of God, even though for them it's going to mean several days of discomfort of living in a little booth, in fact, for 7 days. But they obeyed. And with that, now they end up experiencing great joy, and we will as well, every time we have a fresh rededication of our lives to the Lord. Well, with that, we're out of time today. Until next time, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Today's lesson from Nehemiah is called Restoration and Spiritual Rededication. It's lesson 176 in our wisdom journey through God's Word. Our teacher, Stephen Davey, has a gift for you today. Do you find the Bible intimidating? Stephen's written a quick and easy guide to understanding the Bible. Download this resource right now at wisdomonline.org/guide. Do that today, then join us next time as we continue the wisdom journey.